bucks now for saying that. All right. Amen. Yeah, and so, we're all heading out. There's a group already gone to Tulsa, Kendra and myself, and actually the Ropening Clan as well. We're leaving after church into a camp meeting. Hallelujah. In beautiful Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and looking forward to that. But Miss Cindy's still going to be here, and you're going to have a very special guest speaker on Wednesday night, so you want this place better be packed. Because she only comes out once in a while, this special speaker. Like, we got to, you know, hold her back a little bit. Miss Cindy will be sharing on Wednesday night. And so you want to make sure you're not going to miss that. You want to be here for this because she is a fireball. Amen. And so when this girl gets going, look out. So we're excited. There's a bunch of people gone. It's good to see everybody in church, though. And if you can't make it, if you're not going to Tulsa, you can still tune in live. And Pastor Corey had said the address there, the web address. Also, the times are in your bulletin. All the information is in the bulletin on that as well. But we are excited. What else? Just a few more quick announcements, I think. Oh, yeah. And myself and my wife and my family, after we leave Tulsa, we're going to actually go on holidays for a couple of weeks. And so we're going to go spend some time with family down in Southern Ontario. And we're going to go where the road leads us. We're going to have some fun down there, and so we'll be back around the middle of August, and so we're gone for a little while, so we're excited about that, but I know there's no place like home, so I'm going to miss all of you very much, and we love going, but it's even better coming back home, amen, and this is home, amen. All right, enough of this sappy stuff. All right, I'm going to start crying up here. Well, this morning, what are we talking about? Well, last Sunday, Pastor had a fantastic message on talking about dealing with transition. And so, and talking this week to him and whatever and all those things, I'm going to continue on that that topic, that conversation that we've been having on dealing with transition. And this morning, I actually put a title on something. I can't believe it, Kendra. I know. Varian, I put a title on it for you. So I know. Look at his look on his face. Usually they come after, Steve, you preach. What was your title? I don't know. What do you want to call it? I don't know. Whatever. But I'm going to call it Keep On Going this morning. Keep On Going. So my text this morning is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Amen? Amen. Let's just open in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for being you and being so awesome and so big and so just so strong and so mighty, Father. And Lord, we're just so excited we get to come before you this morning. And Lord, we're going to hear from your word. It's not my words, but your words, Father. And Lord, I just call things that take place to happen, Lord. Miracles, signs, and wonders happen in this church. And Father God, I thank you right now. Ministering angels are doing what needs to be done right now. Things are being broken. Amen. People are being healed. Lives are being changed and transformed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody excited yet? That's good. All right, we'll just go home right now then. We're all done? So, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. It's so easy to get caught up in the past that you forget about the future. It's so easy to be so caught up in the negative things that took place, or the good old days, the things have gone by, that we forget about what's coming ahead. Why is it so easy to focus on those negative things? Why is it so easy to, the good old days? And I'm guilty of this too, sitting around the table or on the couches and talking about things in the past and all that stuff. And, oh man, remember that service we had that time? Okay, but what about the services that are to come? Amen? Well, remember when God did this in the service? What about what God's going to do right now in the service? What God's going to do tomorrow in the service? Whatever, you know? But no, we tend to keep stagnant and kind of focus on the past. Moving forward can be a very exciting and scary thing at the exact same time. Believe it or not, I'm the type of person, I don't like a whole lot of change all the time. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but I don't like a lot of it, you know? I like things that work in a certain order sometimes, and I've learned to be more flexible, praise God. that if things do change, it's not the end of the world. But me, I kind of like the way things work sometimes, you know? So to me, change can be a little scary in certain aspects. Excuse me. For instance, my kids growing up, boy, I wish they all could stay little. But they're getting older and they're learning new things. And, you know, when you talk to Benjamin, it's like I'm talking to him and I'm like I'm talking to, you know, a person who can have an intelligent conversation with me, you know? And I caught myself doing that the other day, having a big conversation with Ben. And I'm like, whoa, when did this happen? You know? And even with Abigail, you know, she's five, and same thing, you know, like the stuff that she talks about and the way she is, and, you know, it's just like, when did you start doing this and computing these things and understanding these things? Like, you talk there, and even Timmy now, you've seen the different things, you talk to him, and he understands every word you say to him, you know? And it just blows my mind to see this natural progression taking place, you know? It is kind of scary in one sense. Because, you know, we love our kids when they're little and, you know, they don't get saucy and talk back and, you know, all those things. But it's also exciting to see them grow and develop and become the men and women that God intended them to be, amen? So change is good. Some people can be scary. Especially when it comes to ministry stuff as well. You know, there's a lot of people, God's got a call on their lives, but they're comfortable to where they're at. And they don't want to step out to what God's got in store for them. I've heard many people say, well, it's scary. I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I was that person. When I was 12 years old, I was called to the ministry. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt I was called to the ministry. And I didn't want to have nothing to do with that. I know what people did to pastors. Churches are crazy. I didn't have nothing to do with that. Now, I tried everything in the world to get away from it, but... Didn't do a very good job at that. You know, ministry is one of those things, and I'm just not talking the full-time pastoral role or anything of the sort, but I'm talking ministry, like Christians. We're all called to do something. You see, once we became born again, we were all given a job to do. Scripture tells us we are all given a ministry of reconciliation. That's a big word, reconciliation. So what does that mean? We bring people back onto God. Amen? And that's our job. The moment you became born again, you were given a ministry. Hallelujah! Boy, some of you guys seem like, what? I've been given a ministry. What? I know what they do to ministers. What? You know? No, that's exciting. You see, God has set before us a path that is amazing. Because once we're walking into things that God has set before us, man, well, this is when you're going to see blessings, you're going to see things change, you're going to see your life just explode. But now it's not always the easiest thing in the world. No one says that being a Christian is easy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say being born again is going to be easy. Because, you know, as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're still on this earth, and this earth has a curse. Simple as that. We live on an earth with a curse. There's sin, there's sickness, there's disease, there's all those things on this face of the planet. But praise God, because of who we are in Christ... Come on now. Because of who we are in Christ, we dictate to what affects us. You see, the power that God has given to us is inside of us. And then we get to choose life or death. I don't know if you're hearing me this morning or not. You see, we're supposed... I'm getting over into righteousness teaching here now. That's okay. But we're supposed to reign as kings in life, Scripture tells us. Okay? That doesn't mean that we are complacent, that we're stagnant, and that we're lukewarm in our Christian walk. Ooh. Well, Pastor Steve, you know, things haven't been going great in my life. I've had all these issues, all this stuff going on. You know, I don't know. Well, what are you doing? Are you spending time with God? You going to church? Are you serving in church? Are you giving offerings? Are you praying, reading your Bible, ministering? What are you doing? Well, no, not really. I'm just kind of sat there staring at the wall. Well, that's your problem. Don't go whining and complaining about how miserable things are when you're not trying to change anything. You see, we are supposed to be continually going forward, moving ahead, always taking a step forward. I heard this quote one time, and it says, if you're not advancing, you're retreating. And that kind of really got me thinking. If you're not advancing, you're retreating. So what if you're standing still? Well, then you're a sitting duck. Basically. UFO. Well, woo. Some people get people running around in service. Some people get shouters, dancers. I get UFOs. You never know what's going to happen when Pastor Steve speaks. My goodness. See, Pastor Roma, you haven't had a UFO in your service yet. Unbelievable. Where was I? Oh, yeah, sitting duck. Back to the sitting duck. If you're not advancing, you're retreating. And so, that, like I said, that really got me thinking. And so if you're not moving forward, well, what are you doing? Well, then you're in a lukewarm state. Well, a lukewarm state is definitely not a good place where you want to be. Turn over your Bibles to the book of Revelation. That's in the back of the Bible. Some people, you know, they're afraid of this book. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you, I promise. Revelation chapter 3. Here's a funny side note. When I was in Bible school, and we had to prepare messages and stuff like that, we used to challenge one another, almost bet each other. You have to preach a message, and you have to go to the book of Revelation and get scriptures out of there. What? What are you talking about? That's impossible. Well, sir, I have passed the test today. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. It says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So be you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now that in the Bible, in King James, that's written in red. So that's the Lord speaking here. And so what's that saying is that, look, God wants us to either choose. Is either we're living for Him 110% or we're not. There's none of this sitting on the fence garbage. Because if we're living a lukewarm, well, you ever take a sip of lukewarm coffee or tea or something like that? You know, when you're expecting a nice hot coffee and you take a big gulp of this warm garbage, whatever that is, right? Well, you spit it out. You spew it out of your mouth. Well, that's what God, that's what Scripture's saying right there. Because God wants us all. God wants all of us, not a little bit of us. And so, therefore, if we're not advancing, well, then we're a sitting duck. We're doing nothing. And then what is the value in doing nothing? Nothing. Come on now. So God wants us to be continually moving forward, not looking and being concerned about the past. Yeah, we can learn from it, and we can get knowledge from it, and we can be stretched and grow and all those things. But that's the thing. We need to allow those situations, those instances, the problems, whatever we had in the past, to make us who we are, to make us stronger, faster, quicker. We can build them. Was it the Million Dollar Man? Dun, dun, dun. Okay, yeah. We can build them. But you see, that's what God has intended us to be. Only we're like a priceless man because we have God on the inside. Amen? And so there's no more of this sitting duck foolishness, no more of this retreating, because if we're sitting still, stagnant, not moving, hold on a second. You ever been around a body of water, like a puddle or something that's been stagnant, hasn't been moving, nothing coming in, nothing going out, just sitting there? It gets smelly, stinky, and full of sludge. Well, that's what happens to us, spiritually speaking. How many of you are full of spiritual sludge? It's funny, but it's true. Because we can get so complacent, you can come to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, you know, go through the routine and go through the motions, but yet, if you're not applying things to your heart and not challenging yourself and not wanting to move forward and not dealing with the situations in your life, you're full of spiritual sludge. You're just sitting there, you're stagnant. You stinky. You know, you're a breeding ground for West Nile. Bacteria, all those yucky things. And you don't want the devil coming in and breeding in your pond. You want a pond that's full of life. Amen. You want some big honking pickerels in that sucker. Amen. Come on. You know, you want some water stirring in there. You want a stream flowing in there. Amen. And it's just not any regular stream. You want that river that's flowing straight from heaven right into your life. Amen. Because it's constantly getting better and sweeter every day. Amen. You see, we're not looking back. We're not stagnant. We're not staying in one place. But we are moving forward. You look at all the battles in history that's taken place and the wars and stuff. Well, what happens when the militaries, when the armies come face to face? You know, they just don't stay there like they used to do in Civil War days. There has to be some advancement. And even back then, they would move forward. There has to be some advancement. If they start retreating, well, they start losing ground. Well, what we're supposed to be doing is not retreating, because when we retreat, we're giving Satan domain. But see, when we're advancing, we're taking back what he's stolen from us. Come on now. Now, some of you in this place this morning, the devil's taking some stuff from you. Amen? The devil's been having a heyday in your life. Come on. But this is what we need to be doing. We need to be standing firm, moving forward. Not lukewarm, not going to be spewed out of the mouth of God. But come on now, we need to have a life that God wants us to live that's full of blessing. Come on. A life that's full of abundance. Come on now. The righteousness of God needs to be alive in each and every one of us. Amen? We don't need to be sat back there in that stagnant pond. No, we don't stay there. We're not a sitting duck. But we're out there, we're attacking the enemy. Come on. We attack the enemy. We come at the enemy. Amen? That's good. We got three people excited. Natural progression for things is to move forward. A baby is born, he just doesn't stay a baby. They grow. Mentally, some people might stay childish, but that's okay. That's a different conversation for another time. But there's a natural progression. You know, there's cycles, the way things go through. There's always moving forward. Amen? God intended it this way, not for things to stay stagnant. We're supposed to be keep going. Now, when we're moving forward, Pastor had touched on these, and I want to look at these again, revisit these again. Three important keys for moving forward. All right? The first key that I'm going to give you this morning is learn to forgive. We can't be in bondage to our hurts and resentments and grudges. So many people today hold unforgiveness in their hearts. They are literally tripping over themselves, and they're stumbling themselves. They're putting blockages up, and they cannot go any further. And when you have unforgiveness, grudges, resentments built up on the inside, you are cutting yourself off from the things of God. And you're wondering why, you know, your life is going down the tubes. Well, how was God supposed to forgive you when you can't forgive somebody? Ooh, it's getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. A lot of times it's hard to forgive people. You just want to lay your hands on them forcefully. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody felt like that? Amen? I got a couple amens. We got some honest people in this place today. Come on, you felt like you wanted to lay your hands on them forcefully. Come on, you ever felt like that with somebody? Raise your hands. Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of you are looking at me like you want to lay your hands on me right now. Oh, boy. Jesus help us. All right. But let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. You see, we do not allow those things to stay in our life. If you're one of those people that likes to hold on to those things, well, you got some problems. If you like to stay bitter, angry at people, And you know, oh, you don't know what they've done to me. Do you know what you've done to Jesus? Think about it. Our sin, our disobedience, put him on the cross. So because somebody done something to you, you're all upset over it? You know what? It might hurt. I've been offended. I've been upset. It hurts. But you know what? What I've learned is that you give it over to God and that you don't let that fester. Because if you allow those things to fester in your life, unforgiveness, grudges, resentments, all those things, you're cutting yourself off and you're only doing damage to yourself.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to get back at that person. You spend years and years this diabolical plan to get back at them, you know? Never ever takes place, and you waste your whole life feeling bad. And the more you hold on to it, the worse you feel on the inside. It just starts tearing you apart. It's like this darkness, this evil engulfs you. You know what I'm talking about here? You know, it just gets so nasty. And all you can think about is just this unforgiveness, this resentment, this, yeah. And then the whole time you're missing out what God has for you. Because you've been so focused on the negative, you've missed out on the positive and the blessings of God. That's a sad reality, but it is a very much so a reality. It takes place. Unforgiveness is a killer to is a faith killer. Unforgiveness is a faith killer. And it's going to stunt you and stop you from being able to go forward and go into the things that God has set before you. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that God has set before me. I want to live that life of blessing.
Amen?
Amen? You know, even when things don't look that great, God is still there. And what I've learned is that when you are going through storms, and when you are going through situations, if you're a faith person, you trust in the Lord no matter what's going on, He will see you through. Some of us are going through some battles, some are going greater battles than others, but no matter how big or how small, God will see you through. And that's a pretty bold statement. But it's true. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the world is saying around you. It doesn't matter what the report is. But the Word of God says that it's already been taken care of.
Amen.
So, you know, if we're going to be faith people, we need to be moving forward and walking in the things of God. Not the things of man. Don't take my word for it. See what the Bible says about it. Amen? Good. Good job, Steve.
Yeah, good job. All right.
Second point I want to give to you is you got to learn to forget. Guys are good at this. All the women say amen.
Amen.
I got a good forgetter sometimes. You know, a lot of times, we've already talked about unforgiveness, a lot of times people like to continue and stay back in those good old days. Was it Pastor Roma was talking last Sunday about the guy that still got the mullet? You remember that? You know, to this very day, he still got the mullet, and he made reference to someone wearing that same leather coat he's had for the last 30 years. Well, you know, I'm not going to lie here. Sometimes it's nice to have the same pair of jeans. They get comfortable. That shirt that you like to wear, he's got more holes in it than a piece of Swiss cheese, but it's comfortable. You know what I'm talking about? You can get complacent sometimes. You go to the same barber for the last 30 years, you say, just do the usual. It's easy. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, you know, it's easy. You get in that comfort place. You know, you don't change your couch out in your house because you got it broken in. You know, you got your butt groove there in your couch where you're like, you know, even though the thing is falling apart, you know? Hey, man, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's so easy to fall into that trap of complacency. And that you want to hold on to those things in the past. Even in our life, it's so simple that you keep going back to those old things, the old way. Well, things have changed. Things are new. Amen? Faith City Church is not what the same church it was 20 years ago. It's changed. There's a lot of differences, a lot of change, a lot of new faces, a lot of things. And some people, you still say, well, that's the way we used to do it. Exactly. Used to. You know, things have changed now. You know, we're constantly progressing and changing and going forward. And we're going into the things of God, what God has set before us. It's not 20 years ago. Amen? So a lot of times we get stuck in that rut. You know, I know some guys who, you know, they're still trying to live their glory days, and, you know, and, you know, 40, 50 years old, and they're still dressing like a 20-year-old from 30 years ago. We all know people like that, right? We all got that one friend. Amen? And, you know, the guys that do have the mullets, still rocking out to the, you know, the old music, man. You know, who's some Motley Crue? I'm still thinking those guys are brand new, but not really. You know, you always got those. I got a couple of those guys, actually, that I know. But God bless them. That's where they're at. Same haircut, same clothes. You go in the shag carpet. Oh, Lord help us. But you know what? It's funny when you think about it. Like, when we're here sitting in church and we're thinking about holding on to the past, you know, how ridiculous is that? Because God has this whole new world, this whole new thing that's set before us, man, for us to explore.
Hallelujah.
We're always, you know, it's one thing to be looking back, you know, and it's nice. You learn from the past. But you got to forget about those things. You got to forget about the negativity and the bad things and the bumps and the bruises. You know, you eat the hay and spit out the sticks. You take the good portions, the good parts. You use that to help you on your journey. There's a big path set before us. And sometimes, like I said, it's scary to step forward and be moving ahead and focusing on what God has set before us. But you know what God has set before us is a great reward. A great prize. You know, it's not something God does not want us to lack. God does not want us to go without. But if we're going to stay right here, well, we're not giving God nothing to work with. So how can He bless us if we're not doing nothing? How do you get a paycheck if you don't work? Honestly, you have to do something to get something. Right? And that's the way it goes. And so in order for us to receive from God, we have to make that step. And make the next step. Now, sometimes you got to start off, it's a little hard. It is a little hard to forget about the past when you're holding on to things for such a long time. But as long as you're just little steps in the beginning. Amen? But then you'll notice that things will start getting a little easier. And the old joints will start moving a little better. You know, you might have to get a bit of WD-40 and spray on the joints a little bit. They're loosened up. But all of a sudden, you start seeing you can take bigger strides in the things of God. Amen? You start growing and developing. The next thing you know, you're running in the things of God. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. But we got to cut out the things that are holding us back. Amen? Praise the Lord. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forget about the past and look forward to the future. But that can be hard. I love the past. Well, the future is so much better. When you're walking into things of God, there's only more, 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 more. More. When it comes to the kingdom of God, biblical principles, it's always more. God does not take away. Only things that need to be taken away. And when I mean the things that are taken away, the things not of God. God has every spiritual blessing, Scripture tells us, available to us. We just got to stand there and walk in the beauty of all these things that God has set before us. Every spiritual blessing. You know, Scripture tells us that whatever Jesus has, we have also. You see, when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, and He took the sin, sickness, disease, all those ugly things, He took it to hell, and beat the tar right out of the devil, and left it all there, and then when He ascended back into heaven, well, He was then seated at the right hand of the Father in a place of ultimate authority in the seat of righteousness. Come on now. Now, because we are the body, the church, amen? Jesus is the head of the church. The head and the body is connected. Now, whatever God gave to Jesus, which was everything, Scripture tells us, all authority, all power, you know, it all belongs to Jesus now. Well, if the head has it, does that not include the body? So why do we want to stay in the past and stay there reveling in the old stuff and the old junk and the way that things were and the ugliness and the negativity when the Lord has these great, huge blessings for us and all we have to do is just step out in faith and start grabbing them? Woo! Every spiritual blessing belongs to me and you. So if you got sickness or disease in your body, that's got to go. That does not belong to you. You got depression or poverty or lack, that does not belong to you. That don't belong to the King's kids. That don't belong to the body of Christ. Are you hearing me this morning? Because look, God intended us to have an awesome life. This is a choice that we have to make. The Lord is not going to erase our memories for us. It's not like it's a big hard reset button somewhere up in heaven for everybody. You know? What is this place? Who am I? I wish I had a reset button for some people. Oh, was that a loud outside voice again? Darn it. Sorry. But you know what I mean? It's not like God is just going to go blank, you know, rewrite the hard drive. That's not the way it works. It's this silly thing called a free will he gave us. And we get to make up our mind. We get to choose on what we want to do with that. We get to choose if we want to stay in the past, if we want to worry about those things and stay back there, keep our mullet, listen to the old 8-tracks. Come on now. You got our record players? Actually, I like a record player. Not going to lie. It's good music. Good sound. But are we going to stay there? Or are we going to move forward? Move forward. Exactly. Number 3 point. Learn to walk by faith, not by sight. I like Indiana Jones movies. Anybody else like Indiana Jones? Love those movies, man. All of them. Remember in that one movie when they come to the big, they're in the cave and they come to this big cavern and they have to walk across and there's nothing there? Right? I was like, oh man. And all of a sudden, what does he do? He steps out. And there's nothing there. And he steps out, and there's like, you know, big cave, bottomless pit, whatever. And he steps out. And what happens when he steps out? Whew! He's still there. Amen? He steps out again. Whew! You know? He keeps going until he makes it all the way across. Well, to look at that and say, well, there's nothing there, you know, what am I going to do? Well, he had faith in something. He trusted in something. I know it's movies, but still it makes a good illustration of showing, you know what? Even though the situation might look pretty deep, pretty black, pretty ugly, you step out in faith. And then you start walking. You start walking. And once again, we get the WD-40 out and loosen things up again. And the next thing you know, you're running across that cavern. Amen? So we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 10, 38, 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believing to the saving of the soul. Now the just shall, what? Live by faith. How many faith people we got in this place this morning? All right, most of you. Some more of you, well, I'm not sure where you're at. We'll pray for you. The just shall live by faith. And so if we live by faith, we got to take each day like that. We don't know what's going to happen the moment we walk outside these doors. We really don't. Now we can believe and stand on the word of God and believe that, you know, hey, it's okay, it's good. And that's faith, believing in something without seeing it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? So even if you don't feel healthy, you believe and do the right things, that you are healthy. Amen? If you don't have a job, you're believing for a job, well, you do the work. Well, thank you, God, for my job, and you're out job hunting, putting out resumes, you know? Come on, you listening to me? You're looking for a relationship? You're not on Christian Mingle. But you're thanking God for that significant other in your life, you know, and you're going to church. You're meeting people. You're being friendly. And God will send that special someone along. Amen? You'd be surprised, man, the amount of people. Actually, here's a funny thing. I actually met Kendra at a women's conference. Next question is, what the heck were you doing at a women's conference? That's none of your concern. I was looking for a wife. What do you think? Well, here, fantastic stats right here. It was three guys. It was three of us. 600 women. Shundai. Average age was 65. But we were playing those, myself, and we were playing the worship team, believe it or not. We were playing, and yeah, and so they had a bunch of, they invited the younger girls to come, the teenagers and young adult girls to come, and this is the first year, and so we were there, and that's where I first met Kendra, yeah, in church. See, now guys, those of you who are looking for a wife, go to WM, Women's Ministries. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. And actually, me and Kendra got married, and the other guy, our bass player, he married a girl that was there also. Amen? And they're a good, strong Christian couple as well, and they are fantastic people. He's a fisherman back home, and she's heavily involved in church. I know she's a worship leader and stuff, and, you know, it's just so awesome to see, you know, those things. But you see, that's what happens, is that when you go in places, I don't know how we're on relationships right now, but when you go to places like that are like-minded people, you know, God's going to set you up with somebody. God's a fantastic matchmaker. You know, you trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. And He will set you up with who you need to be with. Isn't that good? It's good, man. I know I tried it on my own. I was horrible at it. My goodness, my teenagers know a lot about the story, and, you know, I was hitting over heels over this other girl, and it definitely didn't work out, and tell the story, and some of the girls started crying and stuff. It was just heartbreaking, but, you know, when you allow God to take control, amen, and so when you least expect it, it happens, and that's all about this faith business, because when you're trusting in God, well, you know it's going to happen. Might not necessarily be your timing on when you expect it to be. Amen? You see, if we're still moving forward, you know, we put our faith in God, not ourselves. Because we don't put value into man right now when it comes to these things. Because we're going to fall flat on our face. There's many times when I've tried to do things on my own, and it just doesn't work. It is absolutely a disaster. When I try to do things on my own, if I figure I can help somebody with my own knowledge, it's just as well talk to a wall. It's just, you know, dumb as a bag of rocks, you know? But when you've got God in the mix, amen? And when you're using the mind of Christ, when you're using the wisdom that God has set before you, amen? When God's put something in you, well then, it's from Him. It's good stuff. You know, wow, you're smart. Well, I know. Really, it's God. Amen? Now, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I am so thankful that I can do that. Because when you look at certain situations, they look pretty bleak. They really do. A year and a half ago, I got called from a friend of mine, and from way back east, from Newfoundland, and she had called and said, a friend of hers was just in a terrible car accident out by Nipigon, or the other side of Nipigon somewhere. and it was in the wintertime, and she was banged up, the girl, but her boyfriend that she was with, he was mangled. Like, I mean, he was in critical condition. They rear-ended a transport truck or something on the highway. They couldn't stop. It was just a big fiasco, and they had to get airlifted and whatever. So my friend called me. She actually called and asked me, was there a place to order edible arrangements? So I started talking about her, and she told me what the story. I said, well, I'll go up to the hospital and visit them. I didn't know who they were. I knew nothing about them. And anyway, so I went in, and I went into the intensive care unit, and I told them who I was, and I said who I was here to see, and I said, was his girlfriend or his mom around? No. They're just kind of, but the nurse was like, you can come on in. And I'm like coming in here in this intensive care place, you know, looking around, and I don't like hospitals. All right? I'm like, okay, Lord, this is a stretch for me, but I'm going to do this. So I walked into those doors, and I walked in, and all I seen was machines hooked up to this young man. And so they started telling me why that took place, and he had so much of his skull removed, and he had fragments of bone embedded in his brain. His pretty well every leg and arm was broken of some sort, or had fractures or something. So many ribs destroyed. Face was just beat right up. When I seen him, you know, he was sedated. Oh, well, he was out, but apparently he could hear us, and he could communicate a little bit. He had staples all over everywhere, and it was a hard sight. So I walked in. There was no one around me after the nurse left, and I just sit there. And I said the young man's name. I said, Bud, I said, you don't know me. I don't really know you. But if you can hear me, I said, God is still with you. And I started praying over right there. And I just said, God, I just pray. And I felt in my spirit that it was not time for this young man to go. So I just started praying over him. Now, the situation looked bleak because on the inside, I felt he needed to be around. But my head was thinking, he's not going to make it past tomorrow. And I said, no. I said, I got to focus on this. So I started praying and believing. And it wasn't no big extravagant prayer. I just prayed and believed. And as I was walking out, I went to the waiting room, in walked his girlfriend and mom. Then we sat down, we started talking a little bit, and I got to share with them a little bit. Well, praise God, I'm excited to tell you that he's alive and well and doing very good.
Wow.
You know? I got him on Facebook and stuff, and you see him this summer, they're traveling and doing vacations and stuff. And, you know, you see all these things that he's doing. Now, he's still got some work to go do. He walks with a cane and whatnot, but the significant trauma, he should have been brain dead. He had pieces of bone embedded in his brain. But you see, with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
You see? Now, the just shall live by faith. Now, I looked at that situation, and to me, it was just like, man, this is bleak. But on the inside, God was saying, Steve, this is going to be a learning lesson for you. Shut up and watch this. And I'm nothing special. But I believed, I prayed, you know, and I added my faith to the thousands of people that were praying for this young man. And praise God, he's still alive, he's still on this planet today. And every week we get updates, oh yeah, he's doing this, and you could see the progression happening every week, stuff was happening. Now it wasn't like I prayed for him and all of a sudden he jumped up at the intensive care unit and his brain and everything was all back to normal. That would have been fantastic, you know, that would have been great. But you know what, it was a progression. And it's still happening. But hallelujah, that's what God can do. And so when you look at a situation and it looks bleak, well, we don't look at, you know, the physical. We don't focus on that. Because if we kept focusing on the natural realm, I'd say we want to be retreating. Because you think about it, this world can be ugly.
Amen.
This world can be nasty. We've had a lot of stuff happening in our city this last little while. You know? Make you almost want to get out of this city. Head for the hills. Become a hermit. Yeah, right. No! This city needs strong Christians now. We need people that's going to stand up and pray for our leaders. Pray for this city. Come on. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Even though it might look bleak, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Amen? So you got a situation in your life this morning? It doesn't matter what it is. Don't look at the past. Don't look at the situation. Focus on God. Oh, I got this wrong. I got this wrong. I got this wrong. Yeah, well, Jesus can heal this. He can do that. He can do this. He can do that. He can do it. He can do anything. But I got this. I got this. That falls into anything. God's got you. You know, sometimes we magnify the devil more than what we magnify the Lord. We like to hang out with the negative stuff. We like staying around there. No, we need to change the way we think. We need to change the way that we speak, because we need to speak life. We need to speak blessing to one another. Amen? Boy, this is good. I'm getting myself excited. This faith life is not an option. If we want to live in a successful, spirit-filled life and a life that was ordained by God, well, we need to be walking in faith every day. As soon as you get up in the morning, it's a faith step. For some of us, by the time, you know, it is a faith step. You look in the mirror and see what you look like in the morning. I'm going to tell you, it takes a while to get this. Okay? This just don't happen overnight. It takes a while. I need lots of sleep, beauty sleep. A lot of it. At least 48 hours. Some of you are saying you need to go back to bed. I heard you thinking. I heard you thinking. Walking by faith means that we are not focused on the natural, but we're focused on the supernatural. We're focused on God. We're focused on what He can do, not what we can do. We're focused on what He's done for us already, and we thank Him because it's already been done. The work's already been done. 2,000 years ago, it was already completed. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't take some of the sickness, some of the disease, some of the sin, but He took it all. By His stripes, we were healed. We are what? We are. We're done. It's finished. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? I'm blessed. I'm not going to let these circumstances going to hold me back. I'm not going to let emotions get in the way of the blessing that God has set before me. I'm not going to let unforgiveness and memories going to hold me. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. Sometimes it's hard to move on from the past, but we need to do that. Amen? Amen? Amen. Everyone stand on your feet. Hopefully you got something out of this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing. You know what? Battles. It is hard. It is hard to deal with the mind. Joyce Meyer's got a fantastic series called The Battlefield of the Mind. And we went through some of that one time with the teenagers. They got a youth edition too. But I'm going to tell you what, man. The devil's going to try and get you in here and they're thinking. Because all this is all, you know, the 6 inches of space between your ears. Unforgiveness and holding on to the past and all those things. You know, it's our thinking that gets us in trouble. It's the way we perceive things gets us in trouble. The way we want to understand things gets us in trouble. Our own understanding gets us in trouble. So we're supposed to be going on, moving forward, keep moving. We're not supposed to stay in one place. Paul makes a very bold statement how he completed the race. He's done his course. Now he's going on to his prize. You see, when I get to heaven, and I know I got a long way to go yet, but I want to be able to say that I've done what God had told me to do. I don't want to miss out on things. And for me, I got a lot of adjustments to do in my life. But guess what? You might say, oh, Pastor, if you screw up. Yeah, you got adjustments too. Uh-huh. Each and every one of us, we're a work in progress. I like that little song that Pastor Ken sings. I used to sing it in Sunday school when I was little. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took them just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, he's still working on me. Well, I'm going to tell you what, man, is that God is still working on each and every one of us. He is. He's still, you know, showing us, because the work's been done, but he's still guiding us. Because human beings, we like to screw things up. We do. But each and every one of us in this place, we've all gone through some sort of struggle, some sort of battle. We've all dealt with issues in our heads, thinking. We've all dealt with, at some point or another, you know, bitterness or resentfulness, unforgiveness, holding on to memories, holding on to the past. Every one of us, we've all dealt with that, or we're dealing with it. But here's the thing. We need to move past this. We need to make that big step out in faith. When Jesus walked on the water, well, here he was coming out to the boys. And they're in the boat. No, what the heck is this? And Peter decides, well, I want to get out and do that too. And he looked at Jesus. And because he was focused on Jesus, he was able to do something. He was walking on the water. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. So ladies and gentlemen, when you get your eyes on Jesus, your life is going to be fantastic. It's not going to be necessarily easy, but it's going to be the way that God wants it to be. The way that God had ordained it, the way that God had designed it. When you're walking with Jesus, when you're focused on Jesus, but as soon as you take your eyes off of him, that's when you start to, oh man, what's going on here? What am I doing? What? And you start to go down. You see, you start using your own brain again. You're not using the thoughts of Christ. You're not focused on him. A lot of times, this is how we get ourselves in trouble. It's because we take our eye, our focus, off of Jesus. We focus on the situation around us. And this is what holds us. If we're not advancing, we're retreating. And in the kingdom of God, we need to always be advancing. We don't need to be a sitting duck. You ever sit on a fence? That's very uncomfortable. Especially for guys. Remember as a little boy one time, we were climbing over the fence and we slipped. It hurts. You're getting nowhere. God wants all of you, not a little bit of you. God wants you 100%. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to forget. And we're supposed to walk by faith. And that's some three important keys to moving forward. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all the ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. I love that scripture verse. I'm going to go after the things of God. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Well, if you're in this place this morning, never ever like to shut the service down without doing this. If you're in this place this morning, and you say, well, Pastor Steve, I need Jesus. I've been dealing with some stuff. I've been drawing coal. I'm lukewarm. I'm sitting on the fence. I need to get back on track with God. I got hurts in my life, and I need to move past them. I want to walk forward into the things of him. I want to keep moving forward. I do not want to stay where I am. I want to walk in the blessings of God. If that is you, I want you to be bold. Stretch your hands up if that's you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. Amen. You see, this is not something to be taken lightly. Because we're talking about people's spiritual lives here being hindered because of things in the past, because of hurts, because the devil's playing a trick on them. Anybody else before we move on here? You say, well, Pastor Steve, I really need, I see your hand, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Church, just pray for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're in this place as well, and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, and you need Him to be your Lord and personal Savior, you want that life, that faith walk, that good life, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand up also, if that's you, if you need Jesus. And if you raise your hand for any of the things that we called out, should have raised your hand, I want you to come to the front here. Don't be shy. We're going to pray for you real quick. Everybody, if you stretch your hands out, you raised your hand. If you're dealing with hurt, you're dealing with situations, come on up. Come on up. Don't be shy. Come on. We're going to help you out this morning. We're going to pray for you. We want to bless you. Come on. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. There's several of you. Raise your hands. Don't be shy. Come on. That's it. Come on. Hallelujah. Take that, devil. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, brother. Yes, Lord. Come on, church. Just stretch your hands towards them and start praying right now. Come on, brother. Anybody else? Come on. Come on. Good. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, Father God, we just thank you right now. You are so big and so awesome. And Father God, I just thank you right now that you are doing a work in these people's lives. The unforgiveness, the hurt, the memories of the past. And Father God, I thank you that they can move past that. And Lord, that they're going to walk in the fullness of life that you have set before them, Lord. And Father God, greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. And Father God, I thank you for your protection around them, Lord. Father God, I thank you for your forgiveness on the inside of them, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for your love that's pouring into them, Father, right now. Lord, I just thank you for your blessings that you're setting before them. Lord, I just thank you for this path that you have set before us. Hallelujah! Yes. Yes. Come on, church, just pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, you are so good. You are so good, Lord. Yes. Let's just worship Him for a minute. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you're watching on TV right now on your computer and you got a situation in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, God is speaking to you right now. Your life is being changed and transformed right now. Just open up your heart. Just receive Jesus. Just receive what He's got in store for you. If you're sick, speak to it. Stand in faith. We're believing with you this morning. Thank you. If you're feeling down, depressed, you got crazy situations in your life, guess what? God is for you. God is with you. God will never leave you. You know the situation. He knows the situation. But He's got it taken care of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Ushers. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, bless her, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Father God, I thank you. Oh, oh. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Oh, he under boshi and ta ta. No, never the same. He and the roboshi and the rabisi and the roboso. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Increase in her life. Moving forward. Moving forward. Forget about the past. It's done. It's gone. Whoa! Whoa! Yes! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, never the same. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Complete heart change. That's good. Yes, Lord. Whoa! Never the same. Never the same. The past, the hurt, unforgiveness, whatever, it's got to go. Yes, Lord. Fill his heart with love, Lord. Yes, Lord. The greater things are ahead. Yes. Commit fully over to God. And he'll take you places you never thought possible. He's going to use you in ways. Yes, he's seen you before you're even born. He's got mighty plans. Walk in the path. Walk by faith, not by sight. Whoa! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Father God, I just pray right now, Lord. And Father God, you see, you know, but nothing is impossible for you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing and your peace and your love, Lord. Father God, I just thank you right now for what you're doing with this family. And Lord, I just thank you. Great and mighty things are in store. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just pray a special blessing over this little baby. That when he grows up, he's going to follow after you, Lord. You cutie. Mighty man of God. Devil, you have no right to mess with this child. This one belongs to God. Look at the smile. You should see this one smiling. Big smiles. God has a big plan and a big purpose for your little life. Amen? Yeah? And you're going to show the devil that he's a loser?
Yeah.
Amen? I'm speaking this over you. I'm prophesying over your life right now. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right, baby. You are blessed. Amen. You are blessed. Yeah, you are. Hear him? You preach, buddy. Yeah, come on. You preach. He's a preacher right there. You're a preacher. You're going to get people saved. You're going to change a whole community. Yeah, you are. I can see it all over you already. Yeah? Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bye. Praise God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Out of the mouth of babes. Look at that precious little thing. Wow. That's a miracle from God right there. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I come to church this morning. I feel real good. Well, you guys be blessed. We love you. We'll see you when we get back. Amen. We're going to have a great trip. Jesus is Lord. Tell the devil he's a liar.